Like many of your listeners, I was once a fire-breathing conservative. Watching Fox News, listening to the talk radio mafia, voting Republican, etc. I was an ardent member of the outraged brigade, anxiously awaiting Fox and Friends, Rush, Beck, or Riley to push my buttons, either sending me into a fit of rage or conversely causing me to break into a gleeful USA, USA chant. This also entailed being a rabid cheerleader for any and all foreign interventions perpetrated by our august rulers in Mordor on the Potomac. As a good statist, election nights and the launching of some new military conquest were like Christmas for me. I sat transfixed by the images on TV, beaming with fake patriotic pride, dutifully investing my time, emotions, and votes like a good, unthinking servant of the state. Fortuitously, I happened upon your program on the Sirius XM Patriot Channel one morning in 2013. It was the first time I heard a talk show host actually drill into the real stories of the American Revolution, Civil War, etc., and look at them with a much more critical eye. It was the first time I heard anyone speak of secession, an out-of-scale nation-state, and question the right, left, red, blue, liberal, conservative paradigm. Like all of us who had suffered decades of indoctrination in the American exceptionalism mantra, I was shell-shocked initially, but I was intrigued and began to tune in daily for another dose of the red pill. As a lukewarm Catholic, I was a little reticent when the discussion turned to faith. Like many Catholics, I strayed from my faith when I reached adulthood and was spiritually adrift for some time. I was easy prey for the American Zeitgeist, eschewing religion for the much easier path of hedonism. I substituted the state for God, the Republican Party for the church, and conservative commentators and politicians for the clergy. And I'm going to skip ahead a bit more. Once I removed the matrix cable, my mind and soul were liberated. My obsession with politics waned, and I began to warm to the Catholic message more and more. I followed you to the Veritas Network and jettisoned Sirius XM in 2015. I can honestly say that your station has changed my life and motivated me to strive to be a better person. I now have a much less sanguine, non-jingoistic perspective on the history of this country, and I am able to see through the propaganda and misinformation with which we are incessantly bombarded. Most importantly, the Veritas Radio Network has helped me to resuscitate my moribund Catholic faith. I've been inspired by your example and that of so many. This is why I wanted to read this, because of this paragraph. I've been inspired by your example and that of so many fellow listeners and guests. Seeing and hearing so many people openly discuss their Catholic faith is inspirational and compelled me to confront my failure to understand and appreciate my faith. Now, imagine how many more people might be inspired if more of you would share your story, would get some courage. Maybe we should all be praying for the Holy Ghost to grant you some courage. It's not hard to talk to me or to David or to Greg when we're here live. As a matter of fact, it should be one of the easiest things you ever do. Yeah, but minister church, it's in public. It's in public amongst people that you already know, many, and you love. And I read Scott's letter because it has a positive effect. This is why we do what we do. This is why I have this little book next to me. And you can ask Christopher. He'll come in some mornings and go like, oh, you got the prayer book out. The prayers for the new evangelization, the Pauline family of Blessed James Albarioni. And I got to tell you, I never would have found this if we hadn't have found Celeste. Celeste gave me this book. I got my own version now, but she gave me one. That's how I found Father Albarioni. What was Father Albarioni's story? He saw the potential of mass media to ruin mankind, to destroy it, to overthrow or to assist in overthrowing the church. That mass media can be used for perversion. It can be used for evil. It can be used to kill and to maim. It can be used to brainwash and propagandize. But it can also be used to promote the faith. Can also be used to promote the good, the true, and the beautiful, like you heard earlier today with Joseph Pierce. And hopefully, maybe even a time or two this year on this show. That's why we do what we do. As I said before, and I'm not kidding, it can't be for the money. There's no way it's for the money. He concludes, the Veritas Radio Network has grown into a wonderful, close-knit community where members can share ideas, information, and humor, inspiring one another to be better people, spouses, parents, friends, and Christians. This is much more than a radio station or show. I am eternally grateful to you for your dedication and commitment to this effort, for profoundly professing your faith and helping all of us in this community to become more devout. Blessings to you, your family, and all those, Celeste, Christopher, Maggie, Jennifer, Jim, Greg, David, brother. Did I miss anyone? Steve. You got everyone, huh?
Soon to be.
Oh, Ralph, Chris, Joseph.
Three more.
That's right.
And did you mention Celeste, right?
I got Celeste in. The work you do is greatly appreciated and is life-altering. Sincerely, Scott. Now, I'm not going to take credit for what I'm about to share with you, but I'm also not going to say that we don't have a hand in this. Better church, please, enough. There's some Trump bashing to do. One of you sent me this yesterday, more proof that I read my own email, read my own messages in the message room, and all the other things. Guy named Nathaniel W.T. Gotcher has begun an online magazine called Peregrine Magazine. Now, I read this letter yesterday, his open letter to his future readers, and I went, if I didn't know better, I'd say that was a transcript of a Mike Church Show monologue on the Crusade Channel or a testimonial. Now, the point is not to claim ownership or superiority or anything of the sort. The point is that we're not the only ones now that are acting all crusadery, as the deep voice announcer guy says. We're not a bunch of wannabes acting all crusadery. There are actually people out there that are now putting it into action. Peregrine Magazine is a long time in the making, though the ideas that formed the foundation for the magazine only coalesced quite recently. An offshoot of the group behind the Josias, it was born out of the idea, now listen to this, that politics is not just principles and theories, but the lived social experience of mankind in particular places. Peregrine, therefore, is an attempt to get to the heart of what our lives are and what they should be. Of course, practice without principles is like a building without structural members. The practical concerns of our daily lives are built on principles that direct our actions toward good and just ends. For Peregrine Magazine, our focus is on the common good as the proper end of society and thus the foundation of all our principles. How many times have I told you here on this show, it's me saying this now, what is government for? Common good. If government's not working for the common good, is it good government? No, it's corrupt. And it does not have to be obeyed. You are free to practice civil disobedience. Does it still have an authority? Yes. When it exercises an illegitimate authority, does it have an authority? Ask the Christian martyrs. You know, we forget about this. Celeste, when you did St. Lawrence today, what led to St. Lawrence being executed? Christopher, do you know?
St. Lawrence?
Yeah.
What about him?
What led to him being executed?
Let's find out.
Well, I can tell you. He was told by the prefect of Rome, I want all the treasures of your church. Now, the prefect meant, I want all the gold chalices. I want all the gold patens. I want all the beautiful silk robes. I want all of it. What did St. Lawrence do? He disobeyed the law. It was clear what the prefect wanted. He wanted material things. What did Lawrence bring him? Poor people. People with leprosy. These people here are the treasures of our church. And of course, the prefect said, you know what I meant. And Lawrence refused the real treasures. So they took him and they tried him, convicted him. And then to kill him, they put him on a rack, hung it over a fire. And the famous line is, I'm done on this side. You can turn me over now. Because they laid him out splayed on a grill. And they did. They turned him over. And then he said, "You can time to eat, dig in," or something to that effect. The point is all the martyrs were made by practicing civil disobedience. The law said, you will bow down before our God and you will renounce your Christian one. That's what the law said. What did they say? They said no. We're told today, but Midder Church, the law says, the law is clear on this when it comes to LGBTQ virus infecting people. So when I say that you practice civil disobedience, you're in very good company here, especially when they're telling you you will go gay, homosexual, and you will endorse sodomy. You will endorse a gender dysphobia. You will endorse children denying that God created them as boys and girls. And you will assist them in mutilating their bodies. No, I won't. You can't make me. As a matter of fact, I'm ready to be marched up to the gallows right now. Let's go. Back to the Peregrine magazine, acting all crusadery. In order to discover our common good, we must have an idea of who we are and what we have in common. We need to understand the nature of mankind and the nature of his origins and purpose. Necessarily, this will involve a developed theological anthropology. And as a Catholic publication, Peregrine will look to the traditional teaching of the Catholic Church on the nature of man and society. The principles undergirding Catholic social teaching have widespread applications from the interaction between laborer and employer to the domestic life of the family to the role of civic leaders. Whereas in contemporary discourse, these concerns are often separated into individual spheres, which often clash and compete for the attention of modern man, Catholic social teaching sees them as distinct but related aspects of man's journey. Like I said before I started this letter, folks, this is crusade, acting all crusadery. We do this every day. Glad to have you aboard, Mr. Gotcher. The market, the family, and the state are all established for the sake of the common good, the common life of virtue, and the contemplation of the good, the true, and the beautiful, ultimately God himself. The common good requires the different spheres of society to work in concert, not competition. This is the purpose of Catholic political practice And this is the theme for Peregrine Magazine. To live principles is to be politically... Now listen to this. I love this guy. To live principles is to be politically homeless, a foreigner in the public square, a pilgrim on the road to the eternal city. Christians are called to live in the world, but not be of the world. This is why the name Peregrine was chosen. Peregrine refers to something foreign or wandering. We hope, however, that by living according to these foreign principles, we can encourage others to join us on our pilgrimage. Peregrine Magazine intends to publish pieces that address myriad social circumstances, from the management of the household and domestic life to the organization of our cities and our nations. But each and every circumstance relates to the ordering of the political community toward the common good. We are essentially interested in the way that human creativity in art and science contribute to society by presenting a variety of principled perspectives on the practical issues of contemporary life. We hope to develop a clearer picture of a truly political life in our time. And then it's signed Nathaniel Gotcher, the editor-in-chief. There's good stuff in this. And my point in reading it and in sharing it with you is that there are other people out there that are acting all crusadery and are bringing this solidarity to not only to the radio, to the internet, and to print, and hopefully to the oral tradition, meaning conversations. Finally today, Robert Trezent. By the way, our chat room is open at MikeChurch.com. Click the Mike Church Show live chat and join the chat. Yes, it's still open and on. And if you'd like to join our community and start acting all crusadery, well, then do it. Please. Well, I told you earlier about the James Damore or Damore who wrote this memo saying that, hey, it's true, men are programmed in the brain different than women. And because we're programmed different than women, we approach technology differently, and quite frankly, we're better at it. Well, was Damore saying the truth? Yes, he was, in most cases. You're not supposed to tell the truth. There is no nature. There is no God. There is no male and no female, and we're not allowed to be separated, and you're not allowed to say things that our ruling elite masters say that you can't. Now, the warning shot is the way Google recently fired one of its high-level engineers. This is how you prepare a society for totalitarianism. For posting on an internal discussion board an anonymous memo making a measured argument against the company's approach to diversity. The big irony? He began the memo by warning that Google's political bias has equated the freedom from offense with psychological safety, but shaming into silence is the antithesis of psychological safety. This silencing has created an ideological echo chamber where some ideas are too sacred to be honestly discussed. The lack of discussion fosters the most extreme and authoritarian elements of this ideology. Everything that happened subsequently at Google, on Twitter, and in technology media has validated this warning 1,000 times over. And then he begins with several points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Point 1. Create an ideological dogma immune to factual or logical criticism.